All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Proverbs 24. I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture, verse 23. Verse 23, Proverbs 24, 23. And I want to consider, let me tell you what I'm going to be considering this morning out from that passage of Scripture, and it's this truth. Believers walk by faith and not by sight. I'll just read this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, said, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, let's remember that verse of Scripture. We don't look, we don't consider, we don't see any weight in the things that we see. But the things we don't see, we walk by faith. Now, from that thought, let's look for just a few minutes at Proverbs 24:23. "These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." Now, here we have a word spoken from the Lord. A word that is heard by faith, that's known and believed by a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that have been made wise unto salvation. This is what this says. Now, I want you to look again at that verse. Now, notice in that 23rd verse, some of these words are in italics. That means that they weren't there. And I'm just going to look at the words that were there originally. And I'm just not going to read. I mean, many times these words are added and they are a help. Sometimes they're not. Yeah. But listen, this is what the original said. "Not good to have respect of persons in judgment." The whole verse says, "These also to the wise." Not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Now, the Lord, by His Spirit, moved upon Moses to set forth this truth when it came really to the judges that were set up in Israel. Deuteronomy 1:17, "Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause is too hard for you. Bring it unto me, and I will hear it." Now, that Moses was speaking, but he was relating what God had said concerning judgment, making a judgment call. So, in Proverbs 24, in verse 23, the first thing I want us to remember is this. There's one judge, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I do know that men are appointed as secular judges in this, you know, society to maintain order among people, and it's good. The Lord has raised up the authorities that be. And we are to be in subjection to the authority. Because all authority is of God. Now, I mean, somebody said, well, he's just a, you know, wicked so-and-so. Well, that may be. But it doesn't change the fact that whoever God has raised up in authority, the Lord put him there. Now, that's one thing that I need to be reminded of. You know, we got an election coming up. And I know who's going to get elected. I'll tell you that for a fact. Whoever God puts there, that's who's going to be elected. But whoever it is, that was the best man for God's people. Now, whether I understand that or not, that's, you know. But I can tell you this. This is the way it is. We are not to have respect of persons in judgment. James said, and I'm going to say something about this in a few minutes. James 2:1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Why? Because we don't know the heart. When the Lord was going to raise up another king after Saul, after he had rejected Saul from being the king of Israel, the Lord, and you turn to, I want you to see this. Go turn to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. The Lord, Saul was rejected, and God was going to raise up another king. And so the prophet Samuel was sent to a man's house named Jesse. And so being sent to, you know, to find the man of the Lord, the man of God. 1 Samuel 16:6. Now here Samuel gets to Jesse's house. And picking up in verse 6, we'll read through verse 13. 1 Samuel 6. It came to pass when they were come that he, that is Samuel, looked upon Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Here was Samuel, he was looking at him, looking at these sons, you know, that Jesse was bringing. Got my boys here. It wasn't the first one over, let me show you the second one. And the Lord told Samuel, that's not him. Then Jesse made Shema to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, well, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he came and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Here's what happened. Samuel started looking on the outward. He looked how tall they were, how broad they were, how fit, according to the eyes of man, these boys looked. God said, that's not him. Here's the truth. When I said at the beginning of this message, we walk by faith. We're taught we don't possess the wisdom to know one man or another, one situation over another. And therefore, we're exhorted concerning judging others or respect of persons toward others. We don't know. How can we look at someone according to the flesh and know the heart? We don't. But the Lord knows His own. The Lord knows His will. He knows His pleasure. And we often form a mistaken judgment of characters. But the Lord values only that which He gives. I've told you this before. I thought about doing it, and then I said, "Nah, I'm not going to say that again." I'm going to say it again. I told you, I know, when I came here, and of course I'd been here about 5 years, something like that. And then I was talking to Brother Don Fortner, and Brother Don, that I love dearly now. He's our precious, precious friend, and he told me, he said, "Marvin," he said, "I'm going to tell you something." He said, "Obviously, you were the man to go to Katy." He said, "But you would have been my last choice. You'd have been the last one I'd have picked." He said, "I'd have chose everybody else before I chose you." And I said, "Well, you know." He said, not because of what you preach." He says, not that. He said, "The gospel you preach is the gospel." He said, "But your character is so different from Scott's." He said, "Brother Scott was one way," and he said, "You're another." He said, "You just two different people." But he said, "That just shows you how stupid I really am." He said, How do I know? And I thought, that's as good, you know. This is the one thing I knew. I'm supposed to go to Katy. That's where I'm supposed to go. That's what I know. And so I came here. And the Lord, I'm so thankful, was pleased to bless it. He blessed it to my heart. I pray He did to you. But we don't know. The Lord Himself, He has a will. He has a purpose. His counsel. And it's going to stand. And that which He imparts, fear toward Him, respect toward Him, a love for Him, a love for His gospel, that which He gives, that's what He sees. He sees that heart that He's given. And we have no earthly idea what the Lord is doing. He honors and blesses those who have been least regarded. You know, David was the youngest. He was the youngest. You got any more boys? "Oh, well, I got that kid out there in the field out there tending the sheep. He's the only one I got left. That's all I got. Well, bring him in. Let's see him." And he walked in. God said, "That's him right there." Can you imagine, Jesse? What about these others right here? These boys are grown up. They're mature. They're this, that, and the other. That's the one. David. His name means loving or beloved. And here was the one of God's choice that was a beautiful picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. God chose a little boy that was a shepherd. Taught him something about shepherding. That one that could truthfully say, "Now the Lord is my shepherd." See, back in this day right here, the folks knew something about shepherds. The responsibility of a shepherd. The need of a shepherd. The sheep's need of a shepherd. And they don't even know it. But God raised up this boy, and though all of the others appealed to Samuel's natural senses, God chose the one that nobody else would have chosen. Raised him up. We're admonished. It's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. That is, the Lord doesn't. I tell you this. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." You know what? You know when he said that? When Peter said that? When God sent these Jews, Peter and some Jews, over a man's name, a house named Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. Gentiles, according to the Jews, were dogs. I mean, subhuman. You know, they're just Gentile, the world. And here, now, the Lord manifested his grace and mercy through Cornelius. Peter beheld the evidence of God's grace and mercy in these Gentiles. That's when Peter said, of a truth, I perceive God's no respecter of persons. We thought they were dogs. The world, subhuman. God will never save one of those. He'll never save. You ever seen somebody and you cross paths with them and, you know, biggest rebel you ever met in your life, and you say, I tell you what, it's not even use telling him to come hear the gospel. I know God's not going to save him. He saved me. He saved you. Are we any different? Hold your place there and turn to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul. For you see your calling, brethren. Yeah, I'm thinking, listen, here's what Paul's saying. He said, consider that you were called. That's what he said. Consider your calling. Brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Brother Henry Mahan made a comment on that passage of scripture there when there's not many wise. Some really wise men. Not many mighty, not many noble. I don't remember the Queen of England. Somebody said she was so thankful for the word many, many. Because it said not many noble. It didn't say not any. But Brother Henry said this. He said, look around. Look around. He said, just notice those in our midst that the Lord's been pleased to show mercy. He said, there's not many. Really, really. Not that there's none, but there's not many. Real, real highly influential people. He made a statement. He said, you don't see many. Just strikingly handsome or beautiful people. He said, there's not many, not that there's not some, but not many. Abraham Lincoln said, he said, God must have truly been pleased with common people. There's so many. But then somebody said, that sounds good until somebody considers, calls you common. We're so proud. But the thing about it is that the Lord has been pleased to call the base things of this world. The things that, the world considers less than. Look at Psalm 147. Psalm 147. Psalm 147 verses 5 to 11. Psalm 147 verse 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto the harp. Unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Now listen to this. Now here's God. This is God that made all of this, created everything, put it into existence, sustains it by the word of his power. Listen to what he says in verse 10 and 11. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. We look around and I'm telling you what by nature what we're drawn to. The strong. The able, in our opinion. Those that get the job done. Influential people got power. You need something done? I got a friend. Let me make a phone call. You know what I'm saying? It just, you know, I can help you out here. I'll get that done right there. The Lord, he says, he takes pleasure, verse 11, in them that fear him. And the fear, the respect of the Lord that is given from above, that's what God takes pleasure in. This is what our passage says today. These things belong to the wise. This is something that is the evidence of one made wise. Not good. To have respect of persons in judgment. The Lord is pleased to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will. But it wasn't anything in any of us that God saw that moved him to make his choice. And you know that. Psalm 14 verse 3 declares, here's all of us. While I'm reading this, turn to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, I'll read this passage, then we'll read. Psalm 14:3. All are gone aside. We're all together become filthy. And there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, it would appear from that passage of Scripture right there that we realize there's nothing in anybody that causes God to have respect to one over another. Well, there's Marvin. He's just so much more faithful than everybody else. And he's just so much more studious, you know, consistent. No, here's me by nature. I'm always going aside. I'm altogether in myself filthy. I don't do good. Whenever God was pleased to set his affection upon Israel. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 to 8. The Lord said concerning his people, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, you think, well, boy, there must have been something about those Jews, the Israelites. Verse 7 says, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, because he'd keep the oath, which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You know why the Lord has shown mercy and compassion to anybody? Because he chose to. We're all dug out of the same lump. We're all sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. Sinners by practice. But Almighty God has mercy upon whom he will. So therefore, having respect of persons, that's not wise. To have respect of persons, if it's in judgment as far as a judge is concerned, concerning the rights or the dictates of his mind, to have respect of persons one to another is not wise. And we would resent it. If there was a judge that showed, you know, respect somebody, just one of the good old boys or something like that. What if one of his best friends is caught? What's the right thing to do? Justice. He's a judge. Do the right thing. But if we have respect of persons, like even Samuel, the prophet did when he first saw Jesse's oldest boys, right on down. What we're doing is, if we have respect of persons, Neil, what we're doing is we think we know more than God. I think you know, I've seen this, you have too, where you have situations in churches where we'll get a professional football player come in here. I mean, you know, somebody, you know, has got some clout. And let him come over here and talk to the kids. I tell you what, that'll get them to straighten up and fly right. Do we think we know more than God? What are we to do? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to them. One thing the Lord's going to bless. Not our looking at others and respect one to another. We listen, we hear what God has to say. And to have respect of person one over another is to think ourselves wiser than the Lord. And it's to disregard His word and His wisdom. We obey, we fear, we regard men rather than God when we do. Let's remember, we are what we are, who we are, by the grace of God, and we walk by faith, led by God's Spirit, and we're not to look upon, or to judge our brethren according to our standards or the dictates of men. In closing, turn back to James chapter 2. And I'm going to close with this scripture. James 2. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9. James 2, 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you're called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced the law as transgressors. What it's saying is, if you do have respect of persons, you're disobeying the word, the law of God. Brother Henry also said that found among the saints, they're no rich or poor. There's somebody in this congregation this morning's got more than anybody else. Somebody does. Somebody in this congregation's got the least of all. But you know who we all are in the Lord? We're brethren. Important, influential, not important. We're brethren. Great or small, black or white, male or female. To brethren, Christ is all and in all. We're going to leave all this behind. And in that day, you know what we're going to have? In that day, Him. Him. We have no right, and truly, by our new man, we don't desire, we don't want to have respect of person. Now, we war against the old man, I understand that. But we war against showing partiality, favoritism, because of any kind of physical or material differences. Believers are all chosen, redeemed, called and directed children of the same Father. We have one Father, all of us. We believe and we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been all rescued out of the slough of despond by the same Spirit. We worship God. It's not wise. It's not good. It's not good to have respect of persons. May the Lord keep us, direct us, teach us that for His glory and our good.